Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. It is Tuesday, August 6, 2019. I am your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Andrew Orr. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, happy Tuesday.
It is indeed. Also with me today, I have Charlotte Henry. Hi, Charlotte.
Hello, hello.
Glad you're with us. And our first topic today.
I'm so pleased to be here. I didn't want to be on the beach. I wanted to be talking to you.
You sound so convincing. I just, for the record, I totally believed you there for a minute. The first thing I want to talk about, sadly, is not the beach. It's actually the Apple Card. And Andrew, you are still hoping to apply for this through Wallet. I know you've been opening it all morning, trying to figure out if it's going to actually grant you access or not.
3 minutes.
That's a pretty generous.
Yeah, so the news is that Apple Card is going to be released sometime this week.
Okay.
Today we heard that it's rolling out to people who signed up on Apple's website. There's a little section, put your email address in there and click notify me. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if it's everyone who did that or just a small group of that small group. So, but anyway, sometime this week it's going to be rolling out to those people, and then everyone else, I think, later this month.
Okay. And the application process is go on your phone, open the Wallet app, and go for it, right?
Yep. You can tap that plus button on the upper right, and then you should see an option either to add a credit or debit card or Apple Card below that.
Okay.
And Apple already has, I think, 10 videos on YouTube showing people how to do it. So it's pretty simple.
Yeah, there was a whole stack of them, I believe, that kind of all rolled out this morning, if I'm remembering that properly. And you are, as of now, not one of the people who is able to get in on that. Is that correct? He may be checking now.
Not yet.
Ladies and gentlemen.
But fortunately, someone confirmed on Twitter that he is using the latest developer release of iOS 13, and he was able to get it.
Okay. So
it's not just for, you know, iOS 12.4 users.
Okay. That would be kind of funny if it was, like, only one or the other, though. Like, only the people on iOS 13 were able to do it or something. So this sounds like kind of a soft launch. There's some slow rollout to the public. We know they've existed in some form or another for a while now. I know there were sightings reported at WWDC in June of this year that people actually saw the cards themselves. So I know it's possible that they do exist, but this seems like the first public mention of it. And what were some of the other videos, Andrew, that were released?
Let's see. I'm doing this off the top of my head, like how to see your credit card number, how to pair your phone with the physical card, which depends on what kind of iPhone model you have, mm-hmm. how to make a purchase, how to, you know, do all sorts of things. So go on mm-hmm. YouTube and check out Apple's channel.
Yeah, and they do point out, one of the videos right in the title says how to activate your titanium card with iPhone 10 and earlier. So that was kind of interesting. And they show how to use it with Apple Pay. Looks like another one. And one of the things I thought was interesting when we saw it was that it's one of this growing number of credit cards where the physical card itself doesn't have a number printed on it.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is sort of interesting.
And it sounds like the card might be free too. I've never heard anyone mentioning a price, which is great because I assumed it would be some $29.99 Apple purchase.
It's just another subscription from Apple, right?
Yeah.
So you are super interested in getting one. And Charlotte has an interest level, which is not zero, but is going to have to
Correct.
Wait because there is no, it's not available anywhere but the US yet.
That's correct. We've heard executives, I think, from Goldman Sachs, who's Apple's, obviously, they're partnering with Apple on this via their consumer-focused-facing bank. Mm-hmm. They've laid out their intention that they want it to go into other countries, with the UK kind of top of that list. But it's certainly not available now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And as of now, I have little to no interest, mostly because I have a credit card that works for me. And as a married person, generally I like to have a second person on that account. And with the Apple credit card, I cannot. It's a one-to-one sort of thing. So one person, one credit card. And so there's not a way to put a second person on the account so far. One of the other things about it is that the benefits on it, there's not a whole lot of that. So you get, I think, 2% cash back on purchases, like regular purchases, and I think it's 3% on Apple purchases. So
yeah, I did write up an article sharing some comparison data. It's 3% on Apple purchases, 2% on Apple Pay transactions, and 1% for physical card transactions.
Okay.
But the nice thing about that, like for those Apple purchases, or maybe it's Apple Pay, I think that would fall under Apple Pay. Mm-hmm. I kind of assumed that you would just get cash back for like Apple hardware, but it's software too. So in-app purchases on the App Store, App Store apps and games, movies, music, basically.
They want this
anything
to be your Apple ID card.
Cash back on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get your Apple ID card. Set this up as your Apple ID card and call it good. That seems kind of interesting. Kind of in like an interesting way. But also I thought it was interesting, I think, and Andrew, please feel free to set this straight if this isn't how it's gonna go, that you get a better rate for Apple Pay than you do for the physical card transactions.
What do you mean?
Well, I want to say, like, if I used Apple Pay for something, then I get like 2% back, but it's only 1% back if I actually swipe the card itself, if I go to a store and have to put it in the thing. So I can't remember. I thought I had read that, but
I'm not sure if you could use a physical card for Apple Pay purchases.
No. That's what I mean. Like, there are places that take Apple Pay and places that don't. So if I went to a place that didn't accept Apple Pay, I would get less cash back for that transaction than a place that I went let me pay with Apple Pay. So that's the part that I remember. Another thing I saw somewhere that I thought was good was that Goldman Sachs says that this information, like the purchasing patterns and all of that that go with this credit card, are not going to be available for marketing purposes, which was nice, because that's another common way that places make money.
If you remember, when Apple Card was unveiled at the Apple event, they were there. They focused a lot, didn't they, on the privacy and how the people's data will be protected in exactly the way you're outlining, Kelly. That was quite a big thing right from the start.
Yeah. But it is one of those things that sort of got, I think, lost in the card is titanium and there's no number on it, and, you know, that kind of thing. So it's a thing to be reminded of, especially because I have Andrew on the show. And that's what we talk about when we talk about everything is what privacy is like, or what, you know, what the implications are of using this service or using this particular product. And so it's kind of nice to know that that's baked in, just like we see it with everything else that Apple's been putting out lately, is an eye toward that sort of thing. So that's pretty great, actually. I'm glad that I'm glad to have gotten that reminder when I was reading stuff about the card this morning. If you have it, we would like to, if you have been able to apply for it, we would like to hear from you. If you wish to apply for it for some compelling reason, or you wish not to apply for it for some compelling reason. I don't have a more compelling reason than logistics. Like, so far, the cards that I have benefits that are more relevant to me than just plain old cashback. So to me, If I was in the market for a new credit card, I don't know that this would make the list. But if it does for you, we want to hear from you. You can email us at observations@macobserver.com. You can catch us at TMO Daily on Twitter, and you can leave comments in the show notes. And while we're talking about money matters and credit cards and things, one of the things that a lot of people do with some of that money is invest it in the stock market. But it can be really complicated to start investing in the stock market. Brokers can make it easy to invest in whatever you want, but it's hard to tell if you're going to get a return or if you're making a smart decision when you do that. And not all brokers are set up to really give you that sort of guidance if you're trying to get started. And when they don't give you a lot in the way of guidance, it's really easy to go online and look up loads and loads of information about the stock market and then get overwhelmed. And then that makes it really easy to give up. So enter My Wall Street. They have a short list of stocks that they've spent hours and hours researching. Some of those stocks have grown fivefold since they made it on this short list that My Wall Street has available. And they're not brokers. They offer a simplified investing journey that's more like a companion, really, than just sort of a broker. And as a TDO listener, you can access the entire My Wall Street app for free for 30 days instead of the regular 7-day trial. Here's what you do. Go to mywallstreet.com/TDO. That's mywallst.com/TDO and download their app now. And you can access all the expert guidance and all of the advice available in the app and get started investing. And you can do that for a month. And then after that, you can continue down that path for $9.99 a month. And we'd like to thank My Wall Street for sponsoring the show today. And our next topic is actually sort of a throwback. I feel like maybe we should have waited for Thursday to talk about this, but we couldn't because for the old school Apple faithful among us, this is very exciting news. Claris, the company, not the dog cow, but the company, is making a comeback. Right, Charlotte?
Yes, guess who's back? Back again. Claris is back. Telephone? I don't know. Anyway, we'll start with M&M. But Claris's new CEO has said that he's going to take that name. He obviously took over the company as FarmAcre, but they are returning back to that old brand that they haven't used for 21 years, which I think is pretty interesting. It's one of the few kind of standalone Apple subsidiary companies. There's Claris, there's Beats. I can't think of many others. I'm sure some people will point out some I've missed, but there aren't that many, yeah. Are there? Things kind of get drafted into the Apple mainframe normally. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it has remained a standalone company that 21 years ago basically just became FarmAcre and the database company. And now, under the new CEO, it is looking clearly to expand what it is offering. Mm-hmm. One of the first products is something called Claris Connect, which is a way of linking together a variety of cloud services, including things like Slack, like Salesforce, that kind of thing, which have been not always integrated so smoothly with FarmAcre, and also it's a way of quite clearly expanding beyond FarmAcre as well. So that's what's going on. I think there's a nice bit of nostalgia here, but actually, oh, yes. I think, right, you guys were, by you guys, I mean everyone that's older than Andrew and I and the TMO team are quite excited by this.
Which is everyone except the two of you, to be fair.
Yeah. I mean, I was 10, 11 when Claris Work stopped being a thing.
So, for people who don't know, for people like Andrew and Charlotte, let me take you to old school Mac school or old school Apple school, I guess. And in the 80s, Claris was formed as a company to sort of be third party, but not really third party. And so they were. They were owned by Apple. They were a subsidiary of Apple. And Apple gave them Mac Draw and Apple Works. And I think there was another one in there that I'm forgetting. And so they had their own headquarters. They had their own stuff. Then eventually Claris purchased FileMaker and started releasing FileMaker in the late 80s. And then over the years, they took there was ClarisWorks, which a lot of people might remember because it shipped with the PowerBook. If you had a PowerBook, you'd ClarisWorks. And then eventually I think that became AppleWorks, which eventually got spun into Pages, Numbers, and Keynote, which is what we have now. And the company that and Claris like was part of Apple, but then not, but then was, but then wasn't, and eventually became just all FileMaker all the time. And they've done other things with some of this. You know, people might remember things like Claris Organizer, Claris Emailer. Those are I remember using Claris Emailer and not liking it very much, actually. And they've made some other like attempts with things like FileMaker. I think they did Bento, which became a mobile app pretty early on for your phone, but it wasn't like the greatest. And so having this sort of come back and be Claris and for FileMaker to really get leveled up in order to work with some of this other stuff, I think is going to be pretty interesting as far as seeing where it all ends up. So this has been old school Apple school Kelly, who actually remembers using Claris Emailer. So I'm sort of curious what prompted this, but I'm glad that they're resurrecting it, and I'm glad that FileMaker is going to continue to have a future.
The FileMaker as a product will remain, but what this name seems to me to be about is not just nostalgia. It's about expanding what the company and the software products it's producing will be about. So like I said, there's this Claris Connect, which is the first kind of new product. It purchased a company called Stamplay, and now it's creating this Claris Connect product. I suspect we'll see other things like this. I don't know if we'll see Claris Emailer come back, but no. I think we're probably going to see, it's going to be very cloud-based, I think, very, that's going to be the focus, and obviously mobile-driven as well.
Yeah, which was one thing that didn't happen much with FileMaker itself, was there wasn't a lot of mobile capability there.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is something the CEO has kind of picked up on. If you read the interview that I linked to in my piece.
Are they independent now or still with Apple?
It's an Apple subsidiary.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yes.
It's owned by Apple. It's an Apple company.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm with you, Charlotte. I think they resurrected the Claris name because they're not doing just FileMaker itself anymore.
Correct.
And so it makes sense to rename, and, you know, if you're going to rename, like, why not use the name you had before that was totally fine and makes old school Apple nerds like me really happy to hear that name again. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they end up doing, because there was a lot. You know, I always felt like FileMaker had a lot to offer people, but it was always sort of intimidating and kind of hard to use unless you knew somebody who had, you know, built something spectacular in it already that you could just start with. Like, starting from zero with a FileMaker database was awful, and because it's one of those things, like, you know, you can do anything, you know, but like it's hard to tell like where to even start. So I'm really glad that. That they're sticking around, because FileMaker was always a product I was partial to. Of all the different kinds of database stuff I ever had to encounter, the FileMaker stuff always seemed to be the most reliable and generally the easiest to use, depending on what you were trying to do.
Just one final thought on this, and I'm going to whisper it very quietly and hope no one can hear me. Yes. I don't think this would have happened under Steve Jobs.
No,
this is he was obviously quite, you know, he was quite a key figure in how ClarisWorks became FileMaker first, and was, you know, kind of a lot of the staff were reduced and so on. He obviously didn't. Am I right to say he didn't really care that much about it? Would that be fair?
I think it was one of those things where, like, he would pay attention for a minute and then do something else. And so, right. So he would sort of, like, and I think that's part of why they did not complain about sort of going indie, because they sort of were with Apple and weren't, and were and weren't, kind of back and forth. And I think part of the reason they never had a problem leaving was because it gave them enough autonomy, even as a wholly owned subsidiary. At least they had their own headquarters, they had their own rules, they had their own stuff that they could do, and they didn't have to worry about somebody from another department at Apple swooping in going, you have to do all of that differently now. Whoever that person might have been. I would like to point out that Charlotte looks forward to your letters.
Really, so looking forward to them. But look, I just think it's an interesting thought that occurs to me anyway.
Yeah, and I'm, like I said before, I'm interested to see what they do, because I know a lot of people who rely on one piece of FileMaker or another, you know, depending, like, this database powers this thing that I use, or it's this contact database that, you know, I've built over many, many years, or it's, you know, part of the purchasing stuff or the inventory system in the business that I run, that I use every day. So having seen that stuff sort of languish over time has been disappointing. And so I'm really glad to see that it sounds like they're going to take it seriously again. And with this Connect stuff, it's going to be a lot easier to help modernize some of those things as well, and give you the opportunity to make that information even more useful to you in some new and interesting ways that are pretty flexible. So I'm looking forward to it. We'll have to see how it goes. Although, okay, like I said, I wasn't a super fan of Claire's emailer, but Claire's organizer was actually kind of cool. So I wouldn't complain if they brought that back. that wouldn't be the worst thing. Yeah. Now I just feel like I need to go find that website full of HyperCard stacks and just like play with HyperCard stacks all the rest of the day. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to get to do that. But if you know any, again, you can leave comments in the show notes, or you can email observations@macobserver.com. We would like to play with them. And by we, I mean people who are old enough to remember them from the first time around. Probably not my guests today, but I'd like to thank them for coming. Andrew, thanks for being here to talk to us about the Apple Card.
Yeah. Yep. Thanks for having me.
And I look forward to the really excited article that goes up when you finally get Wallet to grant you one. That'll be fun. Also with me today, Charlotte Henry. Thank you for coming by.
Thanks so much for having me.
And thanks for telling us about Claris. That was really interesting news this morning. And I've been your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other.